listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
We live our lives with these questions about our faith, our questions about the Bible and eternity, and what happens? We think, and I'm grouping in the church, I'm grouping in pastors, we think that everybody just knows, but what happens is this, is if you actually ask people, they don't know what we assume that they do. And even so many of us in the room, we don't talk about that. We don't go there. We don't deal with the issues. And the heart of this series has been to deal with the things that we're all assuming that we know and really diving deep so that we have an understanding, because that's the only place that brings peace. Amen, somebody. My name is Joe, and I'm the lead pastor here at New Chapel. Honored that you're with us here today. Before we jump into the meat and potatoes of the message, I want y'all to give it up for Brian, and he gave that awesome offering word. Give it louder than that, louder than that. We believe in the next generation here at New Chapel, and boy, he's kicking butt and taking names. I like that guy. He's good, and but I love that. Today, we're going to be talking about the question, does God know that I'm hurting? Now, I told you the first week of the series that I had a spin on this particular message, that I was going to flip the script on you, and I intend to do that today. But the other side of this series, the last part next week, is how do we deal with difficult people? There's no way to spin that one. We all have difficult people in our lives. We have difficult people at work, your spouse. I mean, not your spouse, but, you know, just we have difficult people that we encounter. And I'm not going to spin it at all. I'm going to tell you how to deal with it in a good and godly way that you can actually have joy and peace and be able to walk that out with God. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Does God care that I'm hurting? Proverbs chapter 8, this is what the Bible says. And I'm going to be reading and borrowing heavily today from Proverbs, 26 translations, which is that. It takes 26 translations and brings out the best of what's going to speak to this world. And it's incredibly clear translation of the Bible. This is what it says in Proverbs 8. Does not wisdom call, does not wisdom call and reason lift up her voice? On the top of the heights along the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Our walk with God is a lot like that, yeah? It's going to be filled with decisions. It's going to be filled with opportunity to make quality decisions about your faith, about what to do next. And kind of my heavy news for you is it never stops. You actually never graduate from that. It follows you all of your life. But it's going to start with some initial decisions that you have to make. And these decisions, these crossroads, if you will, are opportunities, I believe, that God puts in our path we can overcome. I remember when I first accepted Christ. Many of you guys know the story. I was 17, and I'd rededicated my life, and ultimately, I had some decisions to make. I had followed a girl to church, and some of you don't know, but that was not Erica. She wasn't the girl I followed. There was another girl. She was a wonderful person, still is a wonderful person, but God spoke to my heart and said, she's not your wife. And he also said this. This was the hard part. Are you ready for this? This is going to make me sound like such a weirdo. He said, I want you to wait 2 years, no dating, to qualify yourself for your wife. I'm 18 years old. I'm a blue-blooded American. I'm very interested in finding my significant other. Amen, somebody. And the Lord asked me, and there was temptations along the way, but let me tell you, at the end of 2 years, thank God I waited. There was Erica, and I couldn't imagine being with that. Nobody else would put up with me besides Erica, but it was a hard decision. It was a crossroads. I remember when I was trying to figure out where to go to school, I had a pretty significant scholarship to Central Michigan, almost everything, to be a drum major up there. And I probably would have taken their design courses, but I was an incredible drum major. It was just unbelievable. It would have blown your mind. And so they were going to give me a scholarship for all of that, which is cool. And then in town, I had a legacy scholarship to Kendall College. My grandpa taught there when it was a mansion up on the hill, and then my dad went there and taught there. I mean, I was poised to go. It was going to be good eating there. And what happened? I got called into ministry. What are you going to do now? Well, I realized that neither Kendall nor Central had a great seminary, And so ultimately, I packed everything in my Pontiac Sunfire, and I went down to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to Rhema Bible College. Ate ramen noodles, but we all called them ramen noodles when I was down there. We were broke, but it was a crossroads. Are you going to follow God's call in your life or not? Now, I will tell you this about these decision points, these crossroads in your life. When you decide to do it, as soon as you make the decision, the peace will rush in. That's been my experience. That when you finally say, God, okay, I'm in, I'm going to do it. Whatever this means, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to do it. As soon as you do it, you're going to have that peace rush into your life. It seems like for so many of us in the room, like the decision that you have to make is so tough, you can't imagine doing it, but you know you're supposed to make the decision. And on the other end of it is the peace that you're looking for. Crossroads. You never graduate from faith school, meaning you're going to face these crossroads your entire Christian life. And the vignette that I want to take on this message, does God care that I'm hurting? I want to specifically answer it this way. Does God care that I'm hurting financially? Does God care about my bills and my student loan debt? Does God care that we're living paycheck to paycheck? Does God care that I'm struggling to buy my kids everything that they need for sports? Does God care that I'm hurting in this way? I know that he cares about my eternity. Does God care at all about right now? And the honest truth, New Chapel, is we don't talk about that as much as we should. Part of it is some of you guys tense up so much when we start talking about, because you think all I'm going to do is talk about giving. I'm not going to talk just about giving today. There's more to finances. Like, are you going to be responsible with what God gives you? Are you going to be a person that saves or invests? Are you going to be a person that makes the decision to not be a freewheeling spender? Or you're not going to spend anymore to alleviate stress in your life? There's so much to it, and we don't talk about it. And that's the reason why I gave you half the sermon title at the beginning of the series. Because I know some of you'll tighten up so much. You just, like that, it's hard to walk after services like that. Because relax, smile on your brother. I got good news for you today. It's going to be all right. Cricket. I said it's going to be all right, everybody. Can somebody say amen? That's good. Scattered applause. Okay. Does God care that I'm hurting financially? Now, the Bible makes it very clear that there are different currencies. And this actually is rooted, you can look it up in history. It started out as a barter system of how we had a common currency. And it would happen like you were, you know, a farmer and you had a certain produce or something like that, and I had a different one, and we would barter back and forth, haggle back and forth. But it was a flawed system. Let me tell you why. It's fun to do that at a flea market, but it's hard to do it when, like, you need what that guy has, and he knows it. And what was happening was people were getting taken advantage of, and so what they did was they instituted money, what we all know is money. Started as coins, copper. Over gold, and this was just to give some sort of differentiation between the different denominations of what was of value. But here's the good part about it. It went from being a two-party system, we are bartering together, to all of a sudden it became a multiplayer game. Now I can actually sell this, I get this money, and this money could be used for so many other things because it's of value the same way to these people. It's an incredible system. It is still flawed, but it's an incredible system. Here's what happened. Inflation. It makes it so your money isn't worth what your money was worth. There's a lot of us in the room that are, we're born in the 80s or 70s, and so and if you were born before then, just shake your head like you're born in the 70s. I'm going to just give the example of an arbitrary year, 1971, but these are some stats of inflation from 1971. The prices for food in 2019 are 526% higher than in 1971. In 1971, a Ford Mustang cost $3,006, which I was in marketing for years, and that just bothers me. Just cut the $7 off, whatever that thing costs, the extra spit shine, make it so it's $2,999. But $3,006, and today it's $18,080. That's base model. The VW Beetle in 1971 was $1,690. Today, $19,306. You can see inflation happen. Now, here's the bad news. It's not going to stop. And it is a little bit more of a mark of our age, but it's actually a mark of the end times. This is what the Bible says in Revelation 6. Not my message today, but of interest. A whole day's wage for a quart of flour and a whole day's wage for 3 quarts of barley meal. You thought Target was expensive. You just wait till the end times. And the good news is for the Christians in the room, you're not going to deal with this in particular, but it's ramping up towards that even right now. So things have changed. Why? How have they changed? Why would this happen? Because money, it's the same money. It didn't change, but something out there inside our culture and our world, it changed and affected my money that I had. Well, that should tell you in the room, with that change, you should not put your trust in money. You can't rely on it. You can't really vest your trust in that way. Now, Christ taught that the world's system of economics were diametrically opposed to him. They were mutually exclusive. For those of you that were from the North Country, let me break that down. It's like a seesaw, right? Both can't touch the ground at the same time. It doesn't work. They're opposed. They're absolutely opposite of one another. And in fact, this is what Jesus said in Matthew 6. No man can belong to two masters. Either he will attach himself to the one and make light of the other. You must serve God or mammon. You cannot serve both. And Mary, from the great prophet, who was it? Bob Dylan. He said, you're going to have to serve somebody. That wasn't in the Bible. But pressing on, what's Jesus saying? He's conveying that this mammon thing, what's mammon? It's the default spirit that rests on money, and it's all about itself. That mammon spirit, that system is actually the only system in the world that is absolute opposite from God. It is absolutely opposed. And put it this way, if you're serving God, if he's first in your life, you're not going to trust in money. But if you trust in money, you are not putting God first in your life. It's either or. It's two masters. It's a battle to the end, and it's actually something that owns so many of our hearts. The word mammon there is from the Aramaic word mammonus. And this is actually, Arabic is akin to Hebrew, so they're very close. So Aramaic for riches, but it's akin to the Hebrew word amen, which means that which is to be trusted. What does mammon say of itself? Put your trust here. And so Jesus, I believe, is absolutely opposed. In fact, write it down if you are taking notes today. God is opposed to trusting in mere riches. Why? It's in opposition to trusting him. Two masters. You can only choose one. Now, I will tell you, God is not opposed to his children being blessed. That is just not true. You go cover to cover in the Bible, and you will find that God wants to take care of his kids. I think about Abraham. The Bible says in Genesis 13 that he was very rich. That doesn't mean that if you become rich, you all of a sudden become a sinner. I know a lot of rich folk, and they're good, godly people. I know a lot of rich folk, and they're wicked. And the same folk, you go down to some of the places that I go to when I grew up. I took a good friend of mine. We went down to the bar where my dad bought my custody for my mom, the Bowtie Bar, and we were having a burger. How many of y'all know just bars have the best burgers in the whole world? It's unbelievable. I just have no idea what's in it. But I'm eating this bar hamburger, and we're talking about all of these different themes, and we begin to roll around with some of these guys at the end of the bar and say, I grew up around these guys. There's a lot of people that are poor and broke that love the Lord. There's a lot of people that are poor and broke and they're wicked. It's not your financial standing that determines your righteousness. Say amen, somebody. And get off the fact I like bar hamburgers. I don't drink, my gosh. God is not opposed to his children having money. He's not opposed at all. Yet, here's the rub. It can't have you. You can't have your trust in it. Well, I want to be a blessed Christian, Pastor. Awesome. 10 out of 10. You can even say those type of things. One caveat, can't have your heart. You can't put your trust in those different things. There's got to be some order to this. Psalm 35, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. What's his righteous cause? Putting God first, having your priorities straight. That's his righteous cause. And then what's going to happen? He's going to take pleasure in something. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified over what? Your problems, your debt, your issues, your bills. Let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Well, I just don't believe in that. Pastor Joe, I just don't buy it. Look, I didn't write this. God has called me to be a person that brings out truth into your life and into your world, and I'm just going to show you what the Bible says. You don't have an issue with me. You have an issue with what Jesus said. I can prove to you. I am in sales, not in management. The results aren't up to me, y'all. Y'all going to do with it what you will, but God wants to bless you. It would bring him pleasure if you were more blessed, but it can't have your heart. Matthew 6, Jesus puts it this way. You must make his kingdom and uprightness before him your greatest care. And then all of these things will come to you as a matter of course. What things? You read the chapter. It's talking about the stuff that the Gentiles seek. Those gravy suckers, what do they want? They want the stereos, they want the cars, they want the convertible, they want the boat, they want the toys, they want the aluminum dock, because wood, I get splinters. And they go through all the different things. And what Jesus says is this. He talks about the lilies of the field. He says they're clothed better than Solomon. And how much more does God want to bless you? But it's going to come as a matter of course. It's going to come as part of your Christian walk as you follow Jesus. He's going to teach you some things about how he does finances, but it's got to be him first. Say amen, somebody. But Pastor Joe, I thought that Proverbs 8 said, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. The Bible must have a contradiction then. You guys ever have a mom that you'd track some dirt into the house and she would unload on you because she told you 354 times that week to not do that? And what would happen is you were just middle schoolville, high schoolville, and you go over to your dad and you're like, Mom just had a cow. Anybody ever said that, heard that? Mom just had a cow? She just had a cow. 500 years from now, people are going to be looking back at our literature and think that a woman birthed a cow? What's happening? What religion is this, you know? Well, it's an expression. It's a saying. Well, the actual word for that is an idiom. And this is a Hebrew idiom. What is he saying? You want to get the instruction and the knowledge, not rather. He's not saying you can't have gold and silver, because you read a couple verses later and he talks about how wise people have gold and silver. What he's saying is, in comparison, it's nothing. Gold and silver is nothing. Wisdom and knowledge is what you want. He's not saying that his kids can't be blessed. Say amen, somebody. Write this down. What we trust is revealed when we come to a crossroads. We've learned that, haven't we? You've seen it in your life. When everything comes to a head, when it's decision time. How about this, guys? When y'all get into a fight with your spouse, everybody knows who's been working on their relationship skills. Know what I'm talking about? Because it's just going to come out. It's just going to be revealed in that moment. That is not the best time, by the way, to talk about all the things we need to do with our relationship. Mod on. Anyway, you gotta work on that. And so it's revealed in the trial. It's revealed in the temptation. It's revealed at the crossroads. And nobody likes a crossroad. I don't like one either. I don't like a hard decision like that. Nobody does. But what you really trust is going to show up. But you're not going to come to a crossroads unless you have some new information. In other words, when I get up here, and this is why we're a teaching church. When I get up here and I give you the word of God, I present to you what God's word says, and it puts you at a crossroad. You have to make a decision. I love preaching. I can whoop with the best of them. You ain't seen anybody go buck wild and Holy Ghost like Pastor Joe. But I'm a pastor. I'm a shepherd. And what I want to do is give you the word of God, because the word of God is going to be the thing that changes you. It puts you, though, at a crossroads. Week after week, you have to make a decision. Even to stay where you're at is a decision, left or right. Maybe there's a straight, but you are at a crossroad. You have to decide what you're going to do. Jesus says some very interesting things about the crossroads, especially in the vignette of finances. This is what he says in Mark chapter 12. Jesus sat down in front of the collection box, watching as people dropped their money into the chest. Well, I don't like that, Pastor Joe. That's between me and God. Well, he's God, so he's going to watch you. And many rich people were putting in large sums. They do not attend New Chapel, but they are welcome here anytime. All are welcome here. But one poor widow came who dropped in only two tiny coins. And together, it was worth a farthing. We don't use that word. It actually just means a little bit. Verse 43, so he called his disciples to him, and he said, I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than all those contributing to the treasury, for they have all put in a contribution out of the surplus, but she, out of her need, has thrown in all, underline that if you're taking notes, all that she possesses and all that she has to live on. You might ask me, Pastor Joe, how do I know if money has a hold of my heart, if I'm putting my trust in money? Write it down. The person who trusts in money can only give what they will not miss. That's how you know. If you can't give what you're going to miss, your trust is in money. There are going to be times in your Christian walk where God is going to call you to do something that is going to be a little bit of a sacrifice. You're going to see this opportunity to give. You're going to be like, that's a lot. I wanted to use that. And it wasn't even that you were going to use it for bad things. You're going to use it for good things. But you get to this crossroads. But the Christian who trusts in God does not fear giving the money. They know you cannot outgive God. They know that God is going to bless you in return. They know how the system works. And they know that the tithe is not a debt you owe, it's a seed you sow. They know that God isn't trying to siphon money from you. He doesn't need your money, He needs your heart. But where your treasure is, your heart is also. And in fact, I think that the tithe is kind of a limit on regular giving. Why? I think that people would just enamored with the Lord would give it all. And that's why people choke on this. They think of teachings like this is disingenuous because we're talking about money. But God is very concerned with your finances, very concerned with seeing you through. Write it down. Giving into the kingdom of God is the best way to keep you from trusting in money. It's the best way. In fact, there's really no substitute for giving into the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say? He said in Mark 12, he said, assuredly, I say, remember that, I say. This is Jesus' appraisal of the situation. I say to you that this poor widow is put in more than everybody else. Can I say it to you this way? He is in essence conveying that when you give your itty-bitty little bit, when this woman did it, it was actually more than everyone else's. That little bit that you have, when it's in the hand of God, God looks at that and says, aha, now we can do something. Now we can take some ground. It becomes so much more than what it actually even was when you gave it. Wow, that's how our God works with partnership. And so, every financial system in the world has a system of currency. Really have a system of currency, otherwise there's no exchange, and that's the basis for economy. Now, what am I saying? God's wisdom, write it down, his currency is wisdom. God's currency is wisdom. The thing that God pays us with, that he blesses us with, is wisdom. This is paramount that you understand that. If you're looking for God to give you money, you're going to continue looking the rest of your life. Because God does not pay with money. He does not bless with money. He blesses with wisdom. But here's the deal. It has to be converted. My sister recently went off to Japan. And when she got back, she said, I got a little gift for you. And we were all excited. And she knows I like drinking coffee. And we're both coffee addicts. And so she got Kai and I some mugs. When I pulled them out, they said Minnesota on them. I was like, what? I thought she went to Japan. Well, her plane was late, weather delays, and she got there, and she couldn't go over there and convert her U.S. dollar to yen. And so she wasn't able to do that to the very tail end, and then the flight was like early, late, weird, surprising, and she had to leave almost immediately. She didn't get to buy any souvenirs. And the U.S. dollar is worth so much more than the yen. The yen is like outhouse wallpaper compared to the dollar, but it didn't work over there. She couldn't pay them with American dollars. And so when she had to change planes in Minneapolis, Minnesota, she got us two mugs in the airport and gave it to Kai. And I said, I love Minnesota this time of year, you know, like, thank you, you know. What are you saying, Pastor Joe? Money has to be converted to be useful. So if God is giving you a blessing called wisdom, you're going to have to convert that into something that's going to be useful to you in this world. This is so profound. When I was young, I was trying to, God, send me money, send me. I'd go through problems, issues. I would be just struggling to go through college debt-free, which I did. And, one of them. I'm struggling to get through there. And I'm like, God, you have rich Christians. Send them my way. I release you. I prayed all kinds of voodoo prayers for the Lord to send me, and they don't work. They don't work. I never had anybody like that show up. I wish they would have, but they didn't. It didn't happen. God bless me in other ways. I should have been seeking money. I should have been seeking his wisdom. Now, wisdom was established before the earth ever existed. I want you to put on your science hat for just a second, okay? Think with me. If you think about the universe, it's governed by laws of physics, right? physical laws that hold this whole thing together. In other words, if you talk about the earth or water or any kind of landmass or anything that's in the sky, it doesn't exist if the laws of physics aren't in operation. It makes no difference if you have matter with no gravity. The law of gravity is a physical law. The law of physics governs it. And so matter without gravity, it makes it so there's no form. It would just, we'd all be goo. And even less than that, it just wouldn't work. So there's these physical laws. This is what Proverbs 8 says. The Lord formed me in the beginning. This is wisdom speaking. The Bible personifies wisdom as a person often. The Lord formed me in the beginning before he created anything else. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. All of the laws of physics are the most chief manifestation of God's wisdom. Think about that. It's how he formed it. First came wisdom, then became the material world. In all of his laws are right. They're just. They work. We think of the Bible as just a moral behavioral code. You know, act right, you know, pay your taxes, buy groceries on Thursday before the rush, and don't be a dork. You know, we think that that's like the cliff notes in the Bible. But it's not. It's showing you these principles in God's word that work. And they happened before this world ever began. In other words, when you buy into God's financial systems, you are operating in a physical law, if you will, something that's built of wisdom, that's intertwined into the fabric of this world. It will produce for you. It will. Why? Because God set it up, and his wisdom is chief. Now, since money is material, wisdom has to come before money. If wisdom is the thing that was here before the world ever began, and it created all of these great things in the same way, our system of money, you have to have wisdom first. Wisdom will always be the forerunner of any blessing of God in your life that's material. Have you ever worked at a job and done the same thing day after day after day after day? I remember when I was just a young kid, 13, 14, 15, I used to push carts at Plum's Grocery Store in Newaygo. I remember on awful days like this, when the snow is coming down, my dad would drive by in his Mercury Villager van and roll down the window. He wouldn't even stop. He'd look down, and the car would be so hot. It'd be so cold out there. It'd be so hot, there'd be like wavy air coming out. And he wouldn't even stop, and he'd go, "Builds character." And the window would roll up before he was even. And I remember working that job, and what would happen was I'd figure out easier ways to do it. Most of the kids my age, they were just there, and I'm just bagging the groceries, pushing the carts, getting me out of here. I would solve problems at my job. I would fix things. I'm talking about a young kid. I would find more efficient ways. Y'all ever work a job that was monotonous and you found an easier way to do it? You know what I'm talking about? Here's what that is. It's wisdom knocking. Now, that's a natural example. Just Joe Blow off the street. Your average guy could have a wise way to solve a problem if you make him annoyed enough at the same job. But how much greater would it be if we had a spiritual element to it? And there is. I worked at an internship one time. I was in my young 20s, and there was a lot of good things in that season that happened to me, but one of which that just was not right is that they wouldn't allow you to work at all. And that isn't right. The Bible says that a workman is worthy of his hire. They should have paid me even crackers, which they eventually did. But anyway, so I wasn't making anything for the longest time, and here's what's happening. My student loans on the college that wasn't debt-free, they were accruing. I had a cell phone that they were blowing up my phone. Finally, my phone turned off. That was actually kind of relief. I was going through a very modest time in my life. I was so poor, I had holes in the bottoms of my shoes. And Kaya said, "I thought you were the richest guy in the world," and it's because I just ironed my shirts, took good care of myself, but I was really going through a hard time. It was a time where I'd have to go and use my discount at the grocery store to buy a birthday cake and make it. And that's what I'd eat off the entire week. It was modest. You want to talk about poverty. People talk about poverty like there's some sort of merit to it, or you're really holy if you're poor. Honey, you've never been poor. There's nothing good or godly about it. It's absolute evidence that there's a devil in hell that's going to have that type of lack. You ain't ever been broke before. I've been broke. If you've been broke, you know what I'm talking about in the room. Hard time. And in that season, I wasn't allowed to work a regular job, but here's what I was able to do, and I figured it out. My car was a piece of junk, that Sunfire I told you about. And so I did as much as I could to try to fix it up and make it look good, and I started selling cars on Craigslist. Well, I got really good at it. I made sure it was an equitable deal, like they weren't getting shafted by me, but I flipped cars. That's how I bought my wife's wedding ring. That's how I was able to get cars for us, blessed us. I mean, it became a stream of income. What was that? Wisdom. In a situation where there was boundaries that were pretty hard, I was able to use wisdom. Wisdom worked in my life. And here's what wisdom is gonna do. Wisdom is always gonna take you to a higher place. This is what scripture says in Proverbs 4. Wisdom, it's all about wisdom. It's the principal thing. Therefore, get it. If it's all about wisdom and the wisdom is gonna be the thing that produces for you, get wisdom, because why? Wisdom will promote you. Wisdom will take you higher. Wisdom will bring you to a new level. Write it down. Wisdom will promote you. It's just a truth. Circle that, underline it, get it tattooed on your forearm. It's a big deal. Wisdom will promote you. That's the thing. That's the thing. So we don't talk about that, right? I'm going to go there. Every once in a while, I'll hear somebody say, but Pastor Joe, I did tithe. And the Bible says that he would pour me out a blessing. There wouldn't be room enough to receive it. And I've got room. We've got a spare bedroom. I could build a garage. If we're going to do gold bars, better than even paper money, okay? Like, and then if it's electronic funds transfer, I got oodles of space, okay? Why am I not more blessed? You ever wondered that? Just be honest, have you? There's people in the room and you're not a Christian. Listen, nope, nobody's leaning on you. You're in this room, but you're a Christian. You're not tithing yet. I'm not leaning on you either, but I'm just talking to those Christians that are tithing and you're wondering where the rest is. Can I help you with it? Let me show you what this looks like. You're tithing and you have room enough for more blessing, and you might even be hurting in some areas. You're missing it with wisdom. There's something that you don't know. You have a blind spot. It's one of the reasons why we do small groups. You know, think about a blind spot? You can't see that you have it. And so there's somewhere you're missing God's wisdom in your life. My grandfather was a good and godly man. I loved him. Miss him. He's in heaven today. He worked the railroad, worked hard, paid his taxes, made sure his kids were well clothed. They furnished their house nice. It was a good and stable life. They didn't have outstanding hurts in finances, but they weren't able to do everything that God would have had them do. Why? Listen to me. Hear my heart. There's a difference in between hard work and smart work. I'm going to give you an illustration, and it's going to take us a second to go over, and really it's going to be like drinking from a fire hose. It's a lot. I'm actually going to have to teach about this later in the year, maybe spend 3-4 weeks on it. It is so good because it's going to unlock some of these questions that you have. Guys, go ahead and throw up that picture. Here's what this all looks like. Everything that deals with finances in this world, if you are in partnership with God, it only falls under three headings, no more and no less. The first one I'm going to start with is honor. When you honor the Lord with your tithes and offerings, when you honor him with your giving and your life and your sacrifice, your time and your talent and your treasure, all of those things, when you honor the Lord, the Bible says he'll open up the windows of heaven. But remember, it's not cash or gold bars. I don't know. People ask me, is that gold dust in those worship services real? Why not gold bars? Let's pay off the church, somebody. Amen? You know, so I just think that God's going to pay us in one way, and that's with wisdom. Wisdom. And so here's what happens with the wisdom. These are the ideas. These are the insights, concepts, the solutions, ways that you can add value, ways that you can do things more efficiently. God is going to minister it to you, and it's going to be stuff that, listen, on the natural, you can really stress to try to figure out, isn't it better when God just ministers it to you? Wisdom. But then there's a lot of people that get that wisdom, and they just think it's poetry from heaven, and they give God snaps. Praise God. No, you've got to get up, as the hymn wrote, your blessed assurance, and you've got to add some diligence to that. Add some diligence. Work the process. Work it. See, I think that we get into this message of grace, and I love it. I believe in the message of grace, but we think that that takes you away from any responsibility. No, the Bible says you were created to do good works, that you were created beforehand to walk in. In other words, there is stored up wisdom in heaven waiting for you to tap into his system. When you begin to work the process with diligence, what happens? If you honor God, you put him first, and that money doesn't have a grip on you, he's going to pay you. How? Wisdom. But remember, when Jamie was able to only get me 2 mugs from Minnesota, we had to change the title of the sermon to like the 2 mugs of from Minnesota anointing or something. When Jamie got, why? There wasn't a conversion. See, these chairs that you're sitting on existed at the foundation of the world. These metal beams here and these I-beams that go across and the shorter I-beams here, the cement was all here, this carpet was here, this table was here at the foundation of the world, but it didn't look like this. That was iron ore. That was fabric. That could have been 1,000 different things between creation and now. The metal was an ore and a different, because that's not iron right there. This cement was in some mountain or some hill. Might have been close, might have been far away. It all existed. But somebody got a thought that I can convert my sheep and make fabric. I can do a little bit of cushion in there. I can make a metal base to that. And now we have a product that I can sell. That's wisdom. And when God rewards you, pays you, blesses you, opens the windows of heaven, we want cash. He gives wisdom, but wisdom's better. But you have to convert it. How? Diligence. Does that make sense? I don't think I can put it any more simple than that. God is going to give us these ideas, concepts, and insights. We just need to realize when he's giving us the form. Now, Proverbs 14 says this. In all labor, there is profit. All labor. Never judge a way a man makes a living. Never. I'm sure that there's probably people here, you're a janitor. Don't ever look down at janitors. They literally open doors for you in your life, right? Like, love them, bless them, take care of them, give them a tip. Thank God that they're willing to do that. Now, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Hear my heart. You don't want to be digging ditches at 65 years old. You're going to have to apply some wisdom. If you want to fulfill what God has for you, you might be the person who owns a ditch digging company. Because there's all forms of labor and there's profit in it. But check this. The crown of the wise is their riches. I started in obscurity. I started broke. But wisdom is what's going to bring me along. Proverbs chapter 8, 26 translations. With me, this is wisdom personified, with wisdom are riches and honor, lasting wealth and justice. Lasting wealth and justice. Justice, in other words, it's going to be a fair trade. He's going to give you wisdom on how to have an equitable business. You're not going to be doing any crooked deals with anybody. God's deals are going to be straight up, and here's what's going to happen. You got a good business. You're fair at it. There's going to be a lasting wealth to it. Why? You're going to have repeat customers. I like that guy. He did well by me. Continues on. The fruit I give, this is wisdom, the fruit that wisdom gives is better than gold, even the finest. Because the return I make, you think about investments, the return that wisdom makes is better than pure silver. Guys, it just has to be converted. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable. I'm going to share a little bit of our story. I'm going to guise a little bit of it because y'all don't even know all my business. But I'm going to give you a little bit of our story. The testimony is still playing out. I think it's really going to encourage you. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures and then we're going to pray. So when I went to go plant New Chapel in 2013, my wife and I, she's from the metropolis of Standalay, which is French for Standale, and I'm from Nuevo, but we never lived in Grand Rapids proper, but I had a strong conviction in my heart to live in Grand Rapids city limits, and so we really shopped for this, and this was hard because we really didn't have a down payment for the house. We talked to our lender, and I was like, Kai, look, we're tithers and givers. God's gonna make a way where there seems to be no way. And so we were tithers and givers, and we worked with this realtor and with the lender. And what they said was, you need to buy something that your sale price is less than what it appraises. And it needs to be right about on that 20%, and we'll count that as your down payment because we'll look at it as equity. Okay. So Kai and I go out, and we're looking at all kinds of different houses. Carla Hutzing was our realtor, wonderful woman of God. And she's so funny. She called us kids. Kids, we lost that one. We put in an offer. Well, kids, we did. She was real sweet like that. And so we're trying to find the house. And finally, we walked into a house that we thought we could live there. And we did end up buying it. It was near Michigan and Eastern. Now, that area is popping now, but when we bought it, it was, as the French would say, the jeto. Okay, it was rough. There was abandoned parking lots, gas stations were closed, windows broke out, and there's our beautiful house that isn't. And there's a lot of things wrong, but here's what we were believing God for. Here's what God spoke to my heart. Get in the city limits, but buy a house that you can put some sweat equity into. Okay, God, we knew it was that house when we bought it, and so we begin to work on it straight away. Now, for the first several years of the church, I was bivocational, meaning I worked everything I could on the side to be able to afford to be your pastor. And so I had to go earn that money and then come back. But as I would do it, I made a little bit of money in the world, and I was able to leverage that in the house. So we bought new carpet. And I know all your realtors are like, nobody's going to praise the carpet. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And so carpet, and we put up crown molding, and I bought a little electric fireplace. We found a wood mantle at a restore, and we put all that in. And the lady who had lived there before, she had put two pictures on the wall, and when we moved in, they were gone. You could see there's a hole in the wall where sconces used to be. So I went down to Menards, and I bought the nicest sconces that I could get for $7. And I put those up there on the wall, and that was good. There was carpet in the kitchen. Don't ever put, that's gross. So I took that out and put a floating floor that I could interlock. And there's not a lot of flooring that I can lay, okay? But I could do this one, and I think I had to borrow somebody's X-Acto knife. But we put in flooring there, and we put molding around it. And Kaya's family had a place up at Sandy Pines. And I drove through there, and I got a wild idea, wisdom. I said, I wonder if one of these jokers would sell me their Three Seasons room if they're getting rid of their unit. And one guy did. He was so anxious to get rid of it. I thought I was giving him a bad deal, but he said, no, I want this thing gone. So we bought it for $400. Those things are $10,000, $15,000. That's the favor that ain't fair. And so we get that thing home, and I hire a carpenter, and he likes me, and he likes my sister. And so Trey gives us a good deal on putting in a little base wall there. I use Jamie for all kinds of wonderful things here at the ministry. Watch it. But anyway, we put in that Three Seasons room, and then my brother and I get the idea, wisdom, hey, let's put some electric heat out there, baseboard heating. So we did it, went down to Menards, bought all the different things, put it in. It actually made it into a Four Seasons room, which counts as square footage in your house. We had a bedroom that was a bad bedroom and even worse office, but it made a kick butt bathroom. Through the restore, I bought myself a fiberglass shower surround. I got a great deal on the vanity. What am I doing? I'm being frugal. I'm being diligent in the process. And God's given me ideas as I'm doing it. The whole time I'm honoring Him. And so we make this into a bathroom. When everything was said and done, my wife and I figured that we had spent somewhere around $7,000 on all of the things that we did to the house. Added some fencing, paint, things like this. When we sold the house, I'm not going to give you the number because I didn't even give you this... purchase price, but we made 132% profit off from the principal of the loan, the note, not money we put into it. 132%. You pick out any amount that you want for a mortgage and figure out what that comes to, and you'll have to pick up the gum from the ground or the dentures from your seat. It's a lot of money. Favor ain't fair. Well, what did we do? I sold it when I had to for a very specific reason. We needed a down payment on this building, bad, and I didn't have it. And like I said, I haven't got any rich folk. So I sold the house in earnest. God blessed the sale of the house, and we were able to put the down payment on this. I hadn't really revealed that publicly until now. But let me just tell you, why would God, and you pick out any principal amount for a mortgage, and you multiply it by 132%. You see the number that comes out. Why would God give us that amount of money? Because He knows with Job Bepalakwa, if He can get it to me, He can get it through me. And He knows when God speaks to me and says, you give them, and we gave way more than the tithe. When we did that, this church was able to have a home. Wow. Honor. What is He going to do? Yeah. Not for me. Give the glory to God. There's one name that lasts between all ages. It's not Job Bepalakwa. But here's what we do. We honor the Lord with that. What does He do? He gives us wisdom. So I get this wild hair. I'm going to build a house. All right. I just stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. That's my only qualification to do that. But my buddy Scott calls me up. They're doing a demo job. He says, look, I got this sweet house. If you're driving up the expressway and you see the Medical Mile on your right, you look over on the left, there's all these new single slope condos there, bougie. There used to be this 160-year-old craftsman that was there. And he said, look, we're demoing it, and all of the stuff's going to end up in a landfill. Do you want it? Is Pope Catholic? Does a bear poop in the woods? Does a cat have a hind end? Is Howdy Doody have wood legs? Yes, Scott, I want it. I'm calling everybody I know that has a trailer. I'm calling everybody that's got a hammer. I said, look, this is not ministry, except for ministry for me, but help me. So we all had that big work night there, and pizza's cheap, everybody. We had pizza, and we took out these old Craftsman doors. What did we do with the doors? We sandblasted the doors. I took the old hardware. We still have the skeleton keys. Oh, that's so cool for a guy like me. And Kai, every once in a while, wonders why I smell like lacquer thinner. I'll tell you why. Diligence. The hardware that's on the door, my recent project has been cleaning the paint off from the brass screws that match the hardware in the little edge where the Phillips head screwdriver would go. Details. Kidneys, boys. Diligence. I'm going to be moving into a house very shortly, and it's nice. I'm excited about it. I got a good mortgage on it, probably less than most of you, and it is an awesome house. The Lord blessed me with this house. I'm not saying that to gloat. I'm saying that this process works. Most of my money in my life is not going to come from the ministry. It's going to come from trusting the Lord, working the spiral, and it spirals upward. It's almost been 2 years, and we've been diligent in a process. My question for you is, what are you sitting on right now? What has God spoke to you? Don't think that any move in that process did require an element of risk, uncertainty. But the Lord spoke to my heart. We stuck our neck out, and we were able to do it. Why? We trust Him because we honor Him. He gives us wisdom, and we're diligent with the process. Do you need to get a second job right now to get ahead? Do you need to go back to school and get a certification or a degree? Do you need to add value to your company? Stop looking at your company as an obstacle. All labor there is profit. Well, I just do this for now and I hate my job. Stop hating your job. God blessed you with that job. Solve problems for your boss. Become the most, you could never lose me. Why? Because I add so much value to this thing. And wisdom will promote you. Don't hate your job. It's God's opportunity for you. In fact, I will guarantee you, you won't be promoted out of it until you rock out that season. Won't work any other way. I've seen people, they've been old age. And in fact, my grandpa that I told you who worked the railroad, he's a wonderful man. But his father, he was very rogue. You look back at old pictures of the bow tie bar, he used to sweep the floor there. He never got out of that season because he was upset that he had to sweep floors. What an honor for God to give you a broom to sweep floors. Thank God you don't live in Afghanistan. Thank God you don't live in Russia. You get to sweep a floor in America. Start there if you need to get happy about something, and then sweep that floor as unto the Lord. Say amen, somebody. What idea does God give you? Are you supposed to start an Etsy store? Are you supposed to maybe babysit a little bit, add value to people? That gives you a little bit of money that you can use as a seed money. Work the process that God gave you, and it's opposed to the world system. All they're going to tell you in school is you go to college, and that'll guarantee you have a three-stall garage. Bologna is a city in Italy. It don't work that way. You better trust God with everything in you. Because God's given you wisdom. And some of you guys, if you don't learn how to convert it, you're going to be sitting back watching NBC on Shark Tank, and your idea is going to show up. Be like, I had that idea before everybody else. You're telling off on yourself. But God gave you wisdom you didn't learn to convert. Luke 16, the men of this world in temporal matters act with more business sense than those who have the light. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. But he does have a promise. And Colossians says it this way, in him, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are stored up. They're just hidden from view. It's not something you're going to see, but it's stored up for you. If he did determine these incredible works beforehand, it is waiting for you to release it from heaven. And the only way to do it is through honor, wisdom, and diligence, working the plan. We don't talk about that. Why? We do a disservice to people. We get their hopes in just tithing is some sort of lotto game that's going to solve all your problems. You still have a part to play in the process. The tithe is the beginning step. God has great things for you, and he wants to bless you. You have a treasure in this room. You know, the richest place in the world is the cemetery, full of unwritten books, unmade movies, unstarted businesses. What an incredible treasure. I wonder if you're going to be a person that leverages the wisdom that God has given you to make a real influence in this world. Hallelujah. God, we love you so much. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask that you would help open all of our hearts to this for many people in the room. I know this is new. And for Lord, those of us that messed up in the past, we got into debt, we did finances the wrong way over and over again. God, I pray for mercy for all of us. God, please help to heal stupid. We need help with this, God. And Lord, ultimately, we want to put our trust in you because we know, God, you have our best interest in mind. In Jesus' name. And everybody say, y'all look at me for a second. You're in this room and you're far from God. God is interested in every part of your life, including your finances. But one thing that he's chiefly interested in is your eternity. The Bible says that if you make peace with God, and the only way is through Jesus, making him Lord, the Bible says you'll be saved. So we're going to say a prayer, and if you mean it from the bottom of your heart, the Bible says that a new day can begin in your heart. You'll be going from death unto life, be born again into the incredible life and destiny that God has for you. We're going to say that prayer together. Christians are even going to say it in support of you who are saying it for the very first time, and also as a declaration of their faith. New Chapel, would you bow your heads with me? Say this prayer loud and proud. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean of all unrighteousness. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for washing me clean. In Jesus' name. New Chapel, give it up for those people that accepted Christ in this place. Hey, you can do better than that. That is awesome. Stand up on your feet, New Chapel. Listen, if you did say that prayer for the first time, I want to connect with you. That same connection card that Brian talked about, I want you to check the box that says, I accepted Christ, or that you're rededicating. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a letter talking about next steps that you can take in your faith. I'm not going to embarrass you, call you down to the front, anything like that, but I want to send you that letter. So leave that connection card on your seat inside one of our drop boxes at the doors or at guest services, but make sure that you do. We want to tell you what to do next and let you know that there's a church that's celebrating with you. In fact, New Chapel, can we give it up one more time for those that accepted Christ? Hallelujah. Hey, New Chapel Connect is actually going to be shortly after this class at 45 after. We have lunch and pop and water all prepared for you. I'm going to be teaching the class. It's all talking about your personality and really the gift that God, the purpose that God has given you. I want to make sure that you hit that if you've never been. Next week's going to be the final message, and we don't talk about that. We're going to talk about those difficult people in your life. Maybe bring them along. We'll have a circus. It'll be cool. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as you go, have a great weekend, New Chapel.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.